I'm Marco Werman, and this is The World, a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH Boston. Newspapers are struggling. Many readers are getting their news online, and profits are shrinking as circulation sags. That's the scenario here in the United States, but also in many other countries. Not a problem if you've got a wealthy ruling family to back you up. That's the case for The National, a new paper that just hit newsstands in Abu Dhabi in the United Arab Emirates. The paper is published in English with the stated goal of emulating the best newspapers in the West. Former New York Times correspondent Hassan Fatah is deputy editor of The National. He says the birth of his newspaper is, in a way, a reflection of good economic times in the Gulf Emirates.
This is probably one of the fastest growing countries in the world, with expatriates from both the subcontinent and the West coming here for opportunity, for a better life, and partly for the boom. And those are our readers.
Obviously, the big question on a lot of people's minds is censorship. And your paper, The National, is owned by an investment arm of the government. So is each and every article monitored and scrutinized by essentially the royal family?
Well, they read it in the newspaper, if that's what you mean. Certainly, we don't have anybody from the government sitting in our office. And more importantly, I mean, the key to remember in all of this is, like the BBC, being government-owned is not the same as being government-run. We have a very lively debate about the stories that we're covering and discussion about what's important and the editorial priorities of the paper. You know, the point of this whole project is not to get burdened by the past, which is, you know, whether it's sycophantic press that hasn't been able to cover things properly or maybe merely has been afraid to. You know, there's so much attention being given to this issue of censorship, but I think people lose sight of the reality that, you know, nobody's actually crossed the boundaries, if they do exist. I mean, we've been running ahead with all sorts of stories that people may have thought are impossible to do here, but I don't think they are. I think what it is that you have to do them in a journalistically professional and good, high-quality way, and that's what we're trying to offer here.
So how do you think it's going to work out in the long run with the idea that you don't want to be burdened by kind of journalism practices of the past, you just want to forge ahead and do your own thing? I mean, are you anticipating any kind of heat shield to clearly delineate what you're doing from what you know, the government might want you to say or write?
Well, I think fundamentally, quality is my weapon. If I can produce a newspaper of such a high enough caliber that everyone will take it seriously, that everyone will learn to love so much that they can also learn to hate, occasionally at least, I've succeeded, and I think I've broadened the boundaries for myself. I just want to do it better than it's been done before.
How about your coverage of former U.S. President Jimmy Carter's visit to the region? I mean, that was kind of fraught with all sorts of controversy, whether his visit was approved by the State Department or not. A lot of Israelis weren't very happy with what he was saying. I mean, how did your coverage on Jimmy Carter's visit differ?
Well, where it differed mainly in emphasizing that speaking and dialogue is much better than no dialogue, ultimately. For example, we had an opinion piece by a former negotiator on the Good Friday Agreement who emphasized the importance of the dialogue and how difficult it is to get two warring sides to start discussing what were once impossible issues to discuss. You know, we intend to take a very learned, very sober view of the conflicts that are surround us in this region, trying to understand why they occur, but just as important, trying to find solutions to them. And as a result, we embrace a sophisticated view of the world. We are not xenophobic, and we acknowledge the wrongs on both sides.
Finally, Hassan, how palpable is the instability from Iraq in Abu Dhabi?
What's interesting about living in Abu Dhabi is that, you know, this is not a dangerous place. I had one reporter who asked me whether she can go to a conflict safety course, and I had to explain to her that the biggest thing she had to fear was gaining weight, really. so for us, it's very easy, like many Americans, to forget about, you know, the things that are going around you, because in essence, you know, life is normal here. You don't have X-ray machines entering into malls. You don't feel the sense of insecurity all around you. At the same time, you know the neighborhood you live in, and you know that when the Bush administration and the Iranian government begin to take each other on, well, anything that comes out of it is happening just down the street from you, in fact, just across the water. Any sort of mistakes that happen will affect you directly.
Hassan Fatah is the deputy editor of The National, a new English-language daily newspaper based in Abu Dhabi. For a link to the new newspaper, go to our website at theworld.org. Hassan, thank you very much for speaking with us.
Thanks very much for having me.